Collective.
Episode 47 of the Madness Collective. Today's Madness topics are Philip Seymour Hoffman and addiction, the Sochi Olympics have started, George Zimmerman's celebrity boxing event, and we have a couple Super Bowl ads that we wanted to make sure we highlighted. All that and more on this episode of
the Madness Collective.
Whatever. So, one thing that I didn't realize happened is right before the Super Bowl game, President Obama and Bill O'Reilly had a 15-minute interview. And apparently this is something Obama does annually. So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. The only thing that I wanted to point out is that basically Obama was given as good as he got. And Bill O'Reilly was like, he asked President Obama if he thought that he had been unfair to him. To which Obama replied, absolutely. Of course you have, Bill. But I like you anyway. So then the last thing he said, I think as it was like wrapping up, he wondered what Fox News was going to do without him. Because he was like, yeah, I wonder what y'all going to do without
me. Oh, when Obama leaves office.
Yeah, when I leave office. He's like, what y'all going to do without me? Because, you know, y'all ratings have been on my back.
It was actually a very educational interview because Bill O'Reilly kept throwing things at him, but to see Obama's demeanor and how he handled
it. Just smiling?
Yeah, it was really beautiful.
But, like, firing back, though.
Firing back.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was really nice.
So, the other thing, unfortunate thing that happened, another event that occurred on Super Bowl Sunday was Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away, his untimely death. So there's been a lot of conversations online, mainstream media, conversations with friends about addiction.
Right.
Because when I first heard about it, I mean, he was a phenomenal actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will admit, my kind of initial reaction was he had all the resources in the world. He's not. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like some junky homeless man on the corner with like no foundation, no financial backing to like get himself together. And he's publicly acknowledged that he's had a problem. Mm-hmm. He was checked himself into rehab right after graduating from college.
Right.
He was, I think, sober for like 20 years, clean for 20 years. Checked himself into rehab last May. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about when Whitney Houston passed away, mm-hmm. and how people automatically want to be like, well, crack whore. And I was like, got immediately upset. So I was like, you know what? I get it. Addiction is real. Like, and I would never say it's not, but I started thinking about it, how people were talking about Whitney, and I got mad mm-hmm. about that. So I was like, it is a problem. Although the responses to both of them is telling. You had Tina?
Yeah, I think one actor said it beautifully the best. He said that sometimes when you're very sensitive, you hear so many voices, and you can't get them to shut up. And sometimes when someone is brilliant, such as Philip, and quite a few other fantastic people as well, you can't even relate your life to it. You can't even say, what's wrong with them? Why didn't they get the help? Because you just don't know what exactly they're going through, what demons that they're dealing with. You cannot relate 100%. But I understand the other people that argue, come on, you had every resource, meaning just value your life, value the lives of your children. I understand their argument for saying that. I get it. But at the end of the day, you have to have a little bit of compassion because you just, again, you don't know his situation.
Antoine?
You want to comment on your friend who?
LeVar Burton had a couple things to jump in on Twitter.
Jumped in and made some comments
on Twitter.
Cover my drawers up or something.
Yeah, he was like, if you ever find me, you know, or an overdose, please at least put some pants on me. Basically, he said that. And again, I understand people when they're just so upset at this wonderful artist, because he was brilliant. I adored him. So that's just a little bit of anger, like, dude, please don't waste this brilliant life that you had. So I think that's what LeVar is really saying underneath it all.
LeVar also said he ain't going out like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably wouldn't say something like that after someone died. I don't know. But I mean, we're getting to a point, I think it's like, particularly here in America, we're evolving to a place where people just say whatever the fuck they want to say.
Yeah, that's
true. Eat the cake, anime. That's what we're doing now. We don't give a fuck about how that's going to affect the person that's being referenced in the comment that we're making. So I don't know. It, It's kind of shitty, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have, like, once I thought through it some more, which is why I was like, okay, bringing it up, because Russell Brand talked a lot about addiction and being a mental illness and having it recognized as such, and how in America we tend to criminalize it. You know, that, like, that tends to be our first response to it. But, you know, and obviously his death is shedding more light. The fact that they were tracking down his drug dealers was interesting to me. But in part because there is a version of heroin going around that's killing people.
Yeah,
it's got fentanyl in it or something.
So when that, they found the four guys, they had 350 bags of heroin with them.
Which none of which contained fentanyl, so that's actually not the strain they're looking for. But yeah, it was crazy. I mean, drug dealers, they exist. This is what they do. So Bernice King, who is the youngest daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King, is being sued by her brothers. They want to sell the Dr. King's Nobel Peace Prize and his personal Bible, which Obama just used for his second inauguration, and Obama signed it. She has these items stored away someplace, and they want her to hand them over so they can sell them.
Well, they have a point. I mean, it's not 100% hers. You know, they have to have some action where it's both. It's all the family.
That's not what this is about. you're going in. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
That's some bullshit.
Wait, just calm down. There's truth in my statement. There is. It's the families. It's not just theirs. Now when you come down to it, okay, the value of that is so priceless, of the Bible and the Nobel Peace Prize. I get it. Evidently, the brothers are probably in some tough times.
I don't care. Figure it out. Write it on the book, homie. Get on that lecture circuit.
That's why they're on that. And then you can look at it as it's just material. It's just material items. However, for me, I wouldn't ever want to sell that stuff. I'm just trying to see the other side. That's all.
You, as you always do. Antoine?
No, there's no other side to this. And the thing is, it's not going to get sold, because what's going to happen is if it comes down to it, she'll go to court and she'll say, I know they want to sell it, but I own it too, and I don't want to sell it. And because of what...
It belongs to the estate.
Yeah, and because of what it represents... I don't see a judge allowing the brothers to sell it. They're going to say, you know, if you could come to an agreement to sell it, everyone who owns it, perhaps you could sell it. And as long as she holds out, it's not going to get sold. So I'm not worried about it. I think them some...
They're probably going to have to split different items that Martin Luther King owned. Give her some and give them some. I think that's fair as well.
They did something a couple years ago where... bulk of stuff belongs actually to the estate, not to anyone individually.
Right.
So I don't know how this is all going to fall out, but the idea of just randomly selling off personal items or certain possessions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. sounds horrible to me. Like, if anything, it can be donated to the Smithsonian, or be a part of some traveling civil rights monument, museum, traveling piece or something like that. But his Nobel Peace Prize, and who's trying to buy this? Like, this is horrible. This is he is turning over in his grave. They told him on his birthday, on his 85th birthday. They were like, "Yo, we trying
to." When we celebrated it.
Right, I'm sorry. You're right. Correct.
Because I was born on the same day as Martin Luther King. I'm always correcting people, and everybody think the motherfucker was born on the 20th.
You are correct.
But but bear in mind also. That family, something's been wrong with that family for a very long time.
Yeah,
so I was not surprised when I read
this. You're right. It's unfortunate. But yeah, way to kick off Black History Month. Good job. So last thing I do want to talk about is the Sochi Olympics have gotten started. And there's been a couple different things that have come out. One of which was more on the political side is the IOC president, Thomas Bach, said that the Olympics should not be used as a stage for political dissent. So he was sort of calling out President Obama and other European leaders who aren't coming to the events. But this is partly because of Russia's horrible past on gay rights and civil rights in general. So, because we're sending three openly gay athletes as part of the American delegation.
Like, they sent in Brian Boitano. He may be the gayest person that has ever been born.
Billie Jean King.
Yeah, Billie Jean.
Oh my, I love this though.
Yeah, I mean, he's going for it. But I think, I don't agree with the IOC guy because when you're talking about a country that has done what Russia has done, for me, outside the way people allegedly are trying to politicize it, it's an issue of safety.
Yeah.
Is there a chance someone's going to mistreat me because I'm gay there? Right. So that's what I was most concerned about.
And he claims that, within the Olympic Village, the world of the Olympics. No. Now, if you happen to walk and trip over one of the stray dogs that's rolling around Sochi, I don't know. Yeah. You might be on your own.
Yeah. You can't go outside the village.
So there was that. The other thing that's been going down are journalists are live tweeting about how horrible the hotels are. And State Department warned people that you should have zero expectation of privacy no matter where you are. So that one reporter was like, as soon as he opened up his laptop and phone, cell phone hacked, computers hacked. And one other thing they were saying is one of the, the prime minister, deputy prime minister who's responsible for Olympic preparations, he's saying that he knows people's hotels aren't as bad as they claim they are because surveillance has shown that people turn on the water and then walk away.
Oh my God.
So it's out of control. Oh, one thing I want to say. So one tweet from a reporter said, my hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, do not use on your face because it contains something very dangerous.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
That's a problem. Oh, and the manholes are, there's a lot of manholes that are not covered.
Is that Sochi or
that's Sochi.
Or Charleston, West Virginia? Which one is it? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
On that note, we're going to wrap up segment one. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with segment two in music.
Really? Have you seen how zenned out I am?
Yeah, you are a little too zen.
Are you zenned out or smoked out? I wish that I could unfuck you.
Oh, yeah. The title alone, that was absolutely fantastic. She was giving a lot of face in that video.
I wish I could unsee this video.
It was horrible.
I mean, I was almost mad at you, really.
She looked a little drag queen. Yeah, she looked a little drag queenish.
She knows who she also looked like. She looked like Megan Good.
Did she? I would have to see her again.
The cheekbones and like, because she kind of has a fresh face sort of thing. But I was like, because I kept saying, I was like, why do you remind me of someone?
Yeah, mm.
That's about the only thing good she got going for her.
Yeah, I just randomly ran. Her name is Lyrica Anderson. her song is called I Wish That I Could Unfuck You. It's featuring Ty Dolla Sign. He's with Wiz Khalifa, Taylor Gang.
Oh.
Yeah, his father was in Lakeside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I was literally in all caps. I'm like, where did you get this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just found it randomly. And I mean, the thing is, it's not like some random just internet thing, because he's a signed artist. I mean, this is an actual song. The song is horrible. It's just a horrible. It goes, I wish that I could unfuck you. That's the hook.
I can't.
That's the hook.
It hurt.
And she's just really, she's just thinking.
People can relate to that, though. People can relate to that title.
I'm not.
But yeah, it was rough. She's just, what were you going to say? She's just.
You would think it was like she thought this was the greatest fucking song ever in the video.
She was committed.
Yeah,
totally
she was
committed.
Very committed. Tina, I mean, the voice wasn't there. I don't know.
The sheets and the mannequins. Just don't. Keep going.
Yeah. But the big story this week is George Zimmerman. He's supposed to fight DMX in a celebrity boxing match. There's a lot of people protesting.
There are several petitions circulating.
It cheapens everything to me to have that. I feel like it cheapens Trayvon. It cheapens it to me.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. Man, yeah. It's a big part of the problem.
Well, it's a promoter that put it all together, and the promoter was interviewed, and he said DMX is promised to beat his ass
and pee on him, right?
Yeah, but no contract. No, there's still no contract. They're still waiting on paperwork to be signed.
Because at one point, the game was supposed to be being considered.
Yeah, the game was going
to
do it too.
A lot of us want this to just not happen.
Right.
Like, I don't want Zimmerman to get any money whatsoever.
Well, he claims it's for charity.
He's getting something.
I don't know. He claims it's for charity. Al Sharpton has been speaking out about it. It's a change.org. petition to
it glamorizes everything. That's the problem to me.
It puts him on a pedestal again. Like, I don't no. I want him to go away, or better yet, be in jail.
Yeah, I mean, here's what DMX said verbatim. He said he's gonna fight for every black person who has been done wrong in the system. I'm going to beat the living fuck out of him. I am breaking every rule in boxing to make sure I fuck him right up. Once I am done with him, I am going to whip my dick out and piss on him right in his motherfucking face. Now, this is a person who already has his own personal issues. This is just throwing, you know, fuel on the fire. So it's just in bad taste.
Not that I wouldn't, and I think a lot of us.
I'm definitely going to watch it.
Not that we wouldn't mind seeing George Zimmerman get his ass beat. I just need it to be in a dark alley somewhere and it just happens. Like, I don't need it on pay-per-view. I just need to see what he looks like afterward.
Well, you know, he said he had been training. He said that he had been training.
I hate him. I hate this
for boxing thing. Before, and he referred to before the incident. He referred when Trayvon. Yeah, he referred to that as the incident. The one thing here that needs to be considered is, if this does happen, there is a chance that DMX will lose. How bad will that look?
How bad
will that look?
And this wasn't this announced on Trayvon Martin's what would have his 19th birthday? Like that.
It was sometime around there. Yeah.
I think there's something basic that is just missing, and that is if we go to Martin Luther King. Like, you cannot solve the whole problem of violence with another situation of pure violence. Like, it doesn't even make sense. That is not going to make anything.
Well, but you say of pure violence.
Gandhi of you, Tina.
But it's boxing. Nice. Do you ever watch boxing matches?
I do, but that's not what this situation is about.
You said an act of violence, though. This is a boxing match.
It is. I don't even understand what the argument is. Do you not understand what I'm saying? What did DMX just say?
Boxers say this all the time.
That was pure, but come on. That was pure.
Do you
violence.
Listen to what about, boxers say to each other
not,
before
I'm
they
not,
go in the ring?
It's ridiculous to even argue with you regarding this.
Do you
this
not
right
like
now.
Boxing?
I do. What?
No, I feel, I don't always like boxing. That's what I'm asking.
I think boxing is okay, but it's still, it's violence to solve violence. That's what I'm saying.
From DMX's perspective, he's using violence to solve the
okay,
violent
I
murder,
guess I can
the
see
violent
that.
Death of Trayvon. Is
right.
that what you're, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nas.
Gandhi.
it's the 20th anniversary of Illmatic, of Nas's Illmatic, and he's going to perform the entire album at Coachella.
Ooh.
There's going to be a re-release of Illmatic, and it's a two-disc set. It's going to contain, I think, one unreleased song, and then
a couple.
I only saw one on the list, but there could be more.
Yeah.
There were several remixes that I saw that were supposed to appear on the second disc. But he's not only going to do it for Coachella, he's going on tour.
Yeah.
And he's gonna do the whole album on tour. Jay-Z did the same thing for which
Reasonable
album?
Doubt?
Yeah, I think it was Reasonable
did
Doubt.
He? I think I missed the... Oh, no, that's right.
He did
I,
the one at the
on
at Carnegie Hall. And
didn't Ron Howard, like...
No.
That was something else.
Yeah, that's something else. Okay. It was the anniversary of, I think it was Reasonable Doubt. What's the one, the Can't Knock the Hustle, the song with Mary J. Blige on it? Mary had a previous engagement, and so Beyonce sang the hook when he did it.
I feel like I must, this is just...
Yeah, it was a pretty big
deal.
The
other thing about Illmatic, though, is the documentary that they talked about in there. Time is Illmatic will be a feature-length documentary that talks about the making of the album and the social conditions that influence its creation. Yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to that.
That should
be
interesting.
Yeah.
Future and Ciara have declared.
Okay,
have
what's up with you and Ciara?
Declared this.
He's
this is on.
With Ciara.
I'm
obsessed.
Not. This is MTV. This is on MTV.com. This is news.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't even cut you off. Finish saying what the news.
Future
is.
And Ciara have declared themselves the new Bonnie and Clyde. I can't with this. You know exactly what comes into mind when you hear that. I think of Beyonce and Jay-Z.
And they are wrong for saying we're the new Bonnie and Clyde. Like that. You step
no.
in. There. That's a little out of pocket. Come on.
The song is a piping hot mess of dog doo-doo. It's a horrible song. And she tried to sing it at the Grammy Grammy after party.
She's
and
pregnant.
Yeah, that's,
you really think her,
no,
you really
I'm
think
not.
If it wasn't a baby in there, it would have sounded right?
I'm not going in on a pregnant woman. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. I don't appreciate
I like their
the
love. I love how they celebrate their love. It's very beautiful.
Timbaland is reuniting with Jodeci. They're working on a new album.
I wish everybody the best of luck on that.
It might work. Come on, Timbaland.
What
is Timbaland?
Yeah, they've been trying to do this for a long time. I saw an ad in Vibe magazine probably a decade ago, and it was like coming in 2004. The new Jodeci. That was like 9 years ago. Get it together. But Casey and JoJo did come out with an album last year.
Remember that? Yeah, we've talked about the single on one of our episodes.
Yeah, so, and you see what happened with that. Miley Cyrus is on the cover of the March issue of W Magazine. And, well, it's supposedly Miley Cyrus. It looks like Nicki Minaj on the cover.
Oh, you saw Nicki? Somebody said Lady Gaga.
It's the eyes. Her eyes look really Asian, and it's the cheekbones, the angle
she
that she's
does
at.
Not look like Miley. Whoever that is, does not look like Miley.
The angle, and they put extensions in her hair, but I thought she looked really good. I love the bracelets. I love the styling of it.
Yeah, it's not just her hair. They have altered this woman's face in Photoshop. They slenderized her face, they elongated her nose, they gave her a little more forehead, and they reduced the amount of space between her lower lip and the bottom of her chin.
Did you read this, or is this...
No, I retouch. I'm a graphic designer. I know I can look. I looked at the picture immediately.
He will hook you up.
Yeah, I looked at the picture and immediately knew what they had done to her picture. And the pictures look fantastic, but
yeah,
it's
it
not.
Looks really good.
It's Miley in Photoshop is what it is. But I mean, they don't just do it. I can't really fault her. They do that to everyone.
But this is extreme.
Yeah, it's extreme. It's extreme. I mean, yeah, they're fly, but it's not her. That's it.
Yeah, I was like,
I was about to jump into the other section by mistake. So we'll be right back with film and television.
Yes.
Okay, y'all. Look. I'm supposed to talk about Ride Along, but I'm about to ambush the show because Tina was naked on TV the other day. I saw Vanderpump Rules, and this heifer took all her clothes off. There was one scene where she was laying down on her stomach and this guy was playing drums on her ass and the other asses.
Tina!
Oh,
yes.
Tina.
We weren't naked though.
No, they had on their little one pieces or two pieces or whatever, but there was some ass drumming going on.
So this is an episode I should have watched. That's what you're telling Antoine, is that what you're telling me? Is this episode?
Yes, you need to watch this one. Tina is all over this episode.
And I told you to text me if this was an episode that I need to watch, because I'm protesting the show because Tina does not get enough airtime except apparently for this episode.
She's a celebrity now for maybe not the right reasons, but
it's okay, we take it. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take anything
Look,
we can get.
Tina McDowell, man's collector.
She looked good though.
Tina McDowell.
She looked
Thank
good.
You. That's all
she
that mattered. Good. I was really mortified. I can't watch it because imagine watching your naked ass on TV. Like I can't do it,
girl. Yeah. Wait. You know I watched the entire episode,
really?
Okay?
Really? Oh, God. What?
Tom and, what's his name? Is it Jax?
Jax, yeah.
Okay, they got in a fight.
Was it a real fight?
No, it was not.
It was.
You can't talk. What are you doing right now?
I'm
talking about the show I watched on
we
television.
We don't work at Villa Blanca or Sir.
Wait, it was the same. Tom goes, Jax, it's like, you don't feel anything. I want to know if you feel this. And then he goes, and the punch was up. Like, oh my God, Tom, why are you letting them do this to you?
Really? That's how you felt about
yes.
it?
Yes. Oh, they made Tom, you better.
We like Tom.
Yeah, we like Tom.
I've never really gotten a chance to talk to Jax. Tom.
Yeah.
So, I have nothing to say to you right now.
Yeah, she can't. I was entertained,
though.
That's
okay. Though. You don't have to. That's okay. That's
hey, but wait. I will say Tom looked good. Tom looked fantastic. It was all about everybody just not wearing clothes on Vanderpump Rules.
Okay. So I have to explain how exhilarating it was, though, because you're there, you're doing a photo shoot, you're having a good time, and then someone goes, you want to take your clothes off and get naked? And I'm like,
that's it? There was nothing in a drink? Look, something in a drink? There was,
well, come
you know
on.
What she okay, did? Right. This is what Tina did. She went. Tina was like, okay.
Let's do it.
And imagine the energy of all these people coming together and
yes,
naked and taking pictures. It felt really good.
Did it?
I love naked pictures. I really do. I think it's beautiful. It's sensual. It's beautiful. Yeah, I have no problem with it. My only concern was whether I looked good or not. That was my only concern. But I think, you know, you have to live your life about, you think about, you know, when you're 90, will you be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I did that, or you'd be like, yeah, I did that.
You did, girl.
Little drummer boy. Gladys ain't gonna let me make it to 90, so.
It was you know what, though, I will say, because we have been kind of protesting the show. I was entertained.
Were you?
It was definitely entertaining.
Well, it's been renewed, right?
I don't know. The ratings were great.
Okay. For some reason, maybe I read that somewhere that I thought it was
well,
renewed.
Well, I'm not great. 1.9 million. That's good.
That's good for Bravo.
Yeah, that's good.
No, because it is good. So, yeah, but, you know, before I, you know, went off on a tangent, Ride Along was number one for the third week in a row. It has now grossed $92 million. Interestingly enough, 12 Years a Slave has been out for 16 weeks and it's made $45 million.
It's a horror film to watch. And the rollout of 12 years was odd. Like, it was a very slow rollout over like a couple weekends, a couple months. Like, it's a difficult movie. It's not a comedy.
It's not for everyone to
it
watch.
It is not a comedy, but it's still critically acclaimed.
I've been hearing so much about the movie though.
You haven't even seen it.
No, I haven't watched it yet. I want to have the time. I don't want to be interrupted. A lot of times when I watch movies, I'll watch 10 minutes, then I do some work, then I want to sit down and watch
the entire movie. So speaking of Ride Along, though, and Kevin Hart, his next film about last night comes out, I think, Valentine's Day weekend. So he's on a roll right now.
Yeah.
And actually, the trailers for this look good. They're doing a lot of marketing, a lot of publicity. This might be another hit, too. So, and
these
are well-done films with predominantly black casts. Tyler Perry ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm very happy. Yes, I said that. So
yeah. Joy Bryant is in it, I believe.
And Regina Hall.
Yeah. But Joy is also on Parenthood, another one of the shows that you need to watch it. There are black people on it. I mean, it's not a full.
You will cry. You will get choked up watching Parenthood. It's still on. And like Antoine said, it's good.
Yeah, it's a really good show.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Speaking of movies about slavery. So BET is set to air the Book of Negroes miniseries, which is yet again about somebody who was free, got captured, and then escaped. And as much as I love 12 Years a Slave, I'm good right now.
This one's fiction, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
I saw a novel. It was based on a best-selling novel. And when I see novel, I assume that it's fiction.
I mean, there's so many more stories that can be told at this point. I'm good right now. I need a minute.
But you know what? I think what happens is when these things come out, because of the subject matter, it's so kind of, there's a shock value that goes along with it. But I think there's room for those stories alongside
so
the other ones.
It's all about balance.
It is about balance.
We have some great shows out there right now, too. You know, you got your scandals, you got your other things. So why not? I love period pieces. I adore them.
I do appreciate a good period piece.
Yeah. And BET, I mean, have they ever done this? This may be the only time BET does something like
that. Yeah, this could production be their roots.
Production value-wise, they have been stepping up their game. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. I'm definitely going to watch it.
We'll see.
Speaking of black people on television.
Tina's favorite topic.
Yeah. There's another Cheerios ad.
There's a white woman in this commercial as well.
Oh, such a great commercial.
Yeah, but you know what?
What could be the problem?
There was no problem, but that little girl was a lot more black than white because she was like, look, let me tell you something. She was like, and a puppy.
There was a little attitude there.
She was like, and a puppy. I saw the neck turn.
But the mom gave a little bit of face too. At the end, when the mom was like, what are you talking about? It wasn't as pronounced, but mom gave a little bit of face.
I barely even remember seeing the mother.
The mom gave a little bit of face, and the mom is white, dad is black, and kids y'all for some reason are unfamiliar with this commercial, which is, as Tina pointed out,
it was cute. It was cute. Puppy had a Time Warner commercial as well.
What a great commercial.
I had issues with it, Tina.
So many stars in there. Puffy does big things. He's so universal.
It made no sense.
Ray Donovan at the end. Oh my gosh, which is one of the best new shows on TV. It was a fantastic
commercial. It's a Time Warner commercial, though. They got all those people. Puffy didn't get all those people.
But he's the star of the commercial.
I didn't have a problem with it. See, I guess my thing was, I didn't understand what they were trying to do with the commercial because I'm a huge True Blood fan. They started out with Bill Compton and Sookie Stackhouse. She looked fantastic, I thought.
They're saying is you need to get Time Warner because all these great shows.
But you know what, though? I feel like the Time Warner aspect of it got lost because I'm with you the first two times I was like, what is this? Because you know what I likened it to? I likened it to the Macy's ads that they do every year when all those. That's why I was like, I'm not impressed by this because Macy's has Jimmy Fallon in it, has Puffy, has all these same stars. And I'm like, okay, so what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
Also, someone
on Facebook was like, why is he breathing so hard and isn't he a little chubby now?
Oh, he's been putting on weight. He's been putting on weight for a while.
You've walked five steps.
But did you see the Duck Dynasty people there?
Yes, they were in it too.
Yeah. There was a line.
You first got Duck Dynasty people? Go ahead.
Yeah. Puffy at one point, he's like, we gonna be on your phones, tablets, and computers.
Yeah, that was pretty aggressive. Take that.
It was so just hood rich. I don't know. What's his name? Victor Cruz was in it.
There's a lot of people in
But I just, the Victor Cruz one, he was, really was wasted. He was like, I told you about this. He was probably was like, Victor, I told you about that super fast internet. And then he goes, zoop, and then he disappears off the screen.
The Macy's ones are done better, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds okay. Jamie Foxx is in Amazing Spider-Man 2. They just released the new trailer for it. He's playing Electro.
I don't know enough about comics. Is this a big deal that he's playing Electro?
Yeah, because what a lot of people don't understand, I grew up reading Marvel comics, so I'm a little taken aback by a lot of the changes that they made in the movies, but the reason the movies are different from what I grew up with, Marvel has two lines of comic books. They have the ones that follow the timeline from when I started reading them when I was younger.
Okay.
Then they created a separate universe. It's an alternate universe.
I remember you telling me this
before. So they could reboot all the characters. Spider-Man is actually Afro-Latino now in the other one. And Peter Parker is now dead in the regular one, and Dr. Octopus is occupying his body. But Electro started out as a white guy. He had this crazy costume with thunderbolts in the mask, and it was green and yellow. He's got a really cool costume. But what they did in the new universe, and it's called the Ultimate Universe, Electro is now a black guy, and his story is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. That's why Nick Fury is black now. The original Nick Fury is a white guy with an eye patch. Nick Fury you see in the Marvel.
Am I the only one that doesn't care? Like, I just don't care, and it's way too much time spent on it. Please.
Okay, well, maybe you could talk about what you came up with for the goddamn segment.
I'm talking about
a black person.
You went too far.
I didn't go too far. I'm talking about black people in film.
It was way too many seconds spent on that one topic.
You, during last remarks, like to do a dissertation? I have to say this.
Thank you.
The only thing I was reading about was the fact that Jesse Eisenberg is supposed to be Lex Luthor in an upcoming Superman Batman movie, and people were mad about that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I was familiar with.
Well, yeah, and the Kingpin from Daredevil, Kingpin was played by Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace, normally a white character in the Daredevil book, so they do a lot of switching over now, which, you know, we can't be mad at.
So, mentioning Michael Clark Duncan, that was okay.
So anyway, it looks good. And kudos to Jamie Foxx for being in there. Good.
I fucking hate her so much.
We'll be right back with last remarks.
No. We're not being right back.
Let's do it. Okay, let's go. Do you want to go? Or should we let Long-winded?
Yeah, let her go.
Oh, it'll be quick. One of the earlier topics talking about the Winter Olympics being in Russia. And all the stuff that's on the media right now, making fun and just saying how crazy and terrible and the deplorable conditions. Just if we could each take the time when we see that to just think about how blessed we are and our lives are completely different. This is what they deal with. And so just instead of bashing them, take a second to just be grateful. That's it.
Go pick up a Marvel comic. You might be able to familiarize yourself with a black comic book character that you didn't know about before. That's all I have to say.
I don't know why
and
Russia.
Fuck Tina.
I don't know why Russia won the bid. So there's that for the Olympics. And tell a friend about the show. Really, seriously, tell a friend about the show.
Thanks.
Tune in for new episodes every Monday at www.themadnesscollective.com. We out this bitch. West Side. West Side. West Side.